chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Right here in front of Thanksgiving, I thought this was kind of appropriate, and then I'm going to share some things with you along the way. There, Luke 17, verse 11, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee," talking about Jesus, "and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorifying God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that they there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" The title of the message I didn't get with Eileen. She's going to have to work on the fly. The blessings of God. The blessings of God. You know, we see in our text today, we've got 10 men that were lepers. And of course, leprosy, a terrible disease. I kind of looked it up. In those days, there wasn't a cure for it. They say there is. They can cure it now. They got some drugs. They even named them off. And, you know, if you get leprosy anyway, you got hope. But they can do something about it. But back in those days, you know, there was nothing that could be done, an incurable disease, except by God. Only God could heal the disease. And it's a probability that probably most of those men were Jews, just kind of reading the text, that this one man that came to return glory to God, to give thanks, was a Samaritan. It says that specifically. Now, the oddity of that is that normally Jews and Samaritans wouldn't have anything to do with each other. But boy, you know what? When they got leprosy, see, what happens is they were in the same boat, so to speak. They got in it during the same thing. And, you know, that's the truth in the world today. Everybody's in one of two boats. They're in the boat with Christ in them, or they're in the boat without Christ. You know, those are the two groups of people. And but these guys, they, you know, birds of a feather kind of flock together, too. And of course, lepers couldn't be around anybody else. That's why it said they stood afar off. It's always a picture of leprosy. He's a great picture of sin because it's deadly and there's nothing you can do about it, only God. There's a separation from God. Sin causes that. We know that. I'm really not going to preach on these particular things, but I wanted to add that background there, that they stood afar off. That's the separation that sin causes us from God. But that's what they had to do. They had colonies for them. They would stay there. Everybody there was a leper. Nobody wanted to catch it. And they didn't have any hope, they didn't think, but they did have hope. I guess they did have hope, and they kind of knew it. Whose? White Ford truck. You know, that explains the problem right there. The problem circled on the front grill there, Larry. Just push the button. Just push the button on your key fob. It'll go off over there playing with his key. Huh? Open the door and lock it. It is? Mine too? I push mine. Is mine off? All right. I was pushing mine to see if it was it. Amen. All right. If you're watching there in TV land, we had a little distraction. Car alarms going off. A little excitement, though. A little excitement. These guys, they did realize they had hope, though, because it says that they cried out to Jesus and they called him Master. And that word Master there is the same word that Peter used when Jesus told him, after they'd been fishing all night, to throw the net on the other side of the boat. And he said, Master, he spoke to Jesus, Master, we've been fishing all night. And that word there means it means chief commander. And it meant that they had or believed and that they had faith that Jesus was totally in command of even the disease and death that they were facing. And so they called him that. They said, Master. So they trusted him for help. And Jesus commanded them to go show themselves to the priest. Now, here's something that required faith. They went to go show themselves to the priest before they'd ever been healed. Now, see, they had faith. Now, there's an oddity here about this that I see. Because I kind of look at this when the one guy returned and he spoke to Jesus, he came back and gave him praise, and Jesus asked where the other ones were, and he told them, he said, they're cleansed. But then he told this one guy, he said, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Now see, I see that as salvation right there. That's the whole thing. And if it's not salvation in the first case, and I didn't really sit down and study it as hard as I, because this isn't my point. If it's not salvation, it means that we can have a type of faith, I think, and not be saved. We could have a type of faith and not be saved. And I'll tell you what I mean here in just a minute. But they went before the priest before they were healed, and they were healed of their leprosy on the way. And that's how faith really works. I always think of this text when I think about this. I think about when they were getting ready to go into the promised land. Joshua was getting ready to lead them. And it says that the Jordan River, at the time of the year, it was at flood stage. And it said the high priest had to step into the water before the water dried up.
That's right.
Huh? That's how faith works, see? God don't just make the way. And then, you know, we can say, oh, well, we'll just go on through. They stepped in the water. They went. It's the same thing. Faith works like that. A lot of times we want to see all the answers and we want to see everything figured out. And then we'll go ahead and go on with it. But God said, listen, just go and trust me. But I'm not preaching about that either. Just thought I'd put that in there. But notice what this guy in verses 15 through 16, we see this man that he came back to Jesus. And it said He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, which I would say that's praise, that's worship. I believe it said he fell down on his face. That's certainly worship at the feet of Jesus. And it said that he gave thanks. So he gave thanks. He glorified God. He fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus and he gave worship. This one guy, not the other nine. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, too often we're content to enjoy the gift, but we forget the giver. We're quick to pray, but we're slow to praise. And this is what I want to talk to you about this morning. It's just something that, and I know everybody doesn't see it. Maybe some people, if they don't totally understand it, they might not agree with some things, but that's okay, because I didn't understand it totally for years. I didn't know it myself. But, you know, in my walk of, I've been saved since 1987. I think that's 37 years, somewhere close to that. 37, I think. 37 years. And, I think for a lot of that, I got saved and I stayed at a certain place in my Christianity. You know, maybe there was some growth, maybe there was some progress. Maybe I learned some things, but I didn't see it. You just get to a place, you know what I'm saying? You just get to a place where it's nothing new. And you may be there, you may be there today, and I'm trying to help you pass it somewhat, but you get to this place where it's nothing new and I don't really have any spiritual growth. Now, it's never God's fault. It's always our fault. I mean, you know why you're hungry? Because you don't eat, right? I mean, if you don't eat, you're probably going to stay hungry. So that's it. But anyway, I started seeing things, some things, and I started thinking about things, deeper things, and reading a lot and studying a lot, and it helped along. And a lot of times, in Christianity, theologians put names, they got a tag for everything. And I was kind of heading in a certain direction before I knew that there was a tag for the direction I was going in. But I started on, it's called the higher life. I didn't know there was a name for it, but I just started thinking to myself, that there's got to be more to the Christian life than what I've experienced. Partly because I would read about people that, man, they were in another stratosphere with God. I mean, I heard about revivals and men and started seeing that. And it took me a long time. I mean, it took years of complacency and years of stagnation and years of contentment with being a nominal Christian, stuck in that routine, the rut, before I began to believe that there was more than just what I was experiencing. And so... You know, this is how God worked it out. Now, maybe in my early Christian life, maybe I just couldn't get it. You know, maybe that was what it was. Maybe I wasn't ready for anything else. But all of this happened, and it's been like in the last 5 years or 6 years of my Christian life where what happened was, you know, and like I say, God works it out. I started having the thoughts about it. I started thinking about things. I'd read verses in the scripture, and God was dealing with my mind. And then about that time, we went and Brother Ron Lynch, see, Ron Lynch knows exactly what I'm talking about. But then I heard him preach on these certain things, and I thought, man, this is it. This is what I'm talking about. And about that time, I started reading certain men that I knew about all my Christian life. I'd heard about Andrew Murray just about because I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, and I just knew that, you know, I'd hear about Andrew Murray. I never read his book. I heard about A.W. Tozer. Man, Andrew Murray, A.W. Tozer, A.B. Simpson, these guys are all what they would fall into the category we got to make for everybody of a higher life Christians. These guys, they saw this. They realized this. I gave Damien Andrew Murray book, and just the other day I took him hunting and got his second deer of his life, yet, as a matter of fact. Just a little side note. He was all excited about it. But we were riding in the truck over there, and on the way back, we had to ride over and drop the deer off, and we had time to talk a little bit about it. And he said, oh, man, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, and I gave it to him last year. I gave him an Andrew Murray book that I had read, and I said, man, this will help you a lot. He said, you know, I read that, and this is what he said. He said, man, I read that, and all I can say sometimes is, wow. He said, I read what the, I mean, this guy, he can give me a page front and back and another page. I can preach a whole message for an hour off what he said. And that's how deep Andrew Murray, A.W. Tozer, man, oh man, this guy never graduated from high school because his parents needed the kids to work. They had to work the farm and that he couldn't go. He uses words, I shared this with you before, I've never even heard him use in a sentence. I could probably use a lot of words in a sentence, and I couldn't define them. But, I mean, words I couldn't even, I didn't know. I have to look them up. Man, this guy, and it's deep. I mean, he's deep. He takes you to another place. A.B. Simpson. There's others. There's other people like this that got there. All G. Campbell Morgan from yesteryear, too. And I love reading what he has to say. But these guys, and so what happened in my life was, I had the thought in my mind, and about that time, then I started hearing, I heard somebody live preaching, and in the way it was said, and I'm sure that other people said things, but I just didn't get it. There's things that people would say, like if I said to you, like, listen, Christ is all in all, y'all gonna bob your head up and down and say, yeah, that's right. You know, you're gonna agree with what I have to say, but I don't know that you totally experientially understand that. See, and that's the way I was. I said, yeah, that's true, that's true, that's true. And then you go along, and what are we doing? We're trying to find the all in all and everything else. You know, because we didn't understand it. We didn't understand it. And so, you know, I just wanted to talk to you about this very thing, and I think I just got 2 points, Eileen. So, and you might have to, if you can spell it, that's good. The peripherals of Christ. The number one, the peripherals of Christ. In other words, the things about Christ, the things of Christ. We see these 10 men in our text, and 10 were cleansed, but this one guy came back to Jesus. And if you want me to spell it for you, P-E-R-I-P-H-E-R-A-L-S. Is that right, Dwayne? I have to stick. Ex-school teacher, I have to check with him. Now all he can spell is UPS. Can't spell that either, right? We see 10. And you know, so why did the 9 not go back to Jesus? See, I'll tell you why. Because they were preoccupied with the things of Christ instead of Christ. See, it's like, what can he do for me? What thing can he do for me? And then we get excited about the thing. See, I have people over the years, I've shared this with, they call up, what does your church have for me? What kind of songs do you sing? What do you have for the young people? What do you have for the middle-aged people? What do you have for the old people? Well, I'm going to tell you what we got, and we're on Facebook. We got Jesus. Amen. And Jesus is all we really have to have. But see, everybody say, yeah, that's right. But do you know it? Do you really know it? And these guys here, they got what they wanted. They came, they said, Master, we got leprosy, boy. Can you cleanse us? Can you heal us? They got it, and they say, oh, boy, look at me. I got cleansed, and boy, there they go. And they done forgot all about Jesus because they're preoccupied with the peripheral thing, just the things. And see, here's the thing. We battle the flesh every day, talking about it in Sunday school class. Romans chapter 8, it's a great, great chapter. We're talking about that. We're battle the flesh. And listen, the flesh is always more interested in what it can get, what it can benefit by or from, or what it can find pleasure in than it is in worship. That's it. That's why we don't have a worshipful experience. Sometimes they say, well, you know, preacher, we come. Sometimes, you know what? I'm not pointing a finger to anybody, but it may apply to somebody here without knowing it, you know, because you got to spell it out for us to think. Sometimes people come to church. I'll just say people come to church. People come, and I know people come to church because when they come, they feel better about it and they like that feel good feeling. That's it. It's really, it's just like it's doing the right thing. Sure. Does God want you to come? Sure. Do we want? Yes. But sometimes what we do, if we're not careful, our flesh gets satisfied and we feel better because we don't feel guilty, and we don't like guilty because the flesh don't like it. And we feel better because we came to Christ or came to church and we feel better. See, we feel better. Not that worshiping God would not make you feel better, but sometimes, see, we're focusing on the flesh instead of the spirit. And that's the thing to get in the deeper life. This is what you start to see. The flesh is always interested in self. Always interested in self. I, me, my. There's people you can read what they write. I, me, re, everything about it is personal, first person, personal pronoun, right? And we have to become aware of it. We have to be aware of it. Listen, the flesh wants to get saved. Sure it does, because the flesh wants to go to heaven. The flesh wants to get saved because the flesh doesn't want to go to hell. Now, I mean, you know, so you can say, hey, yeah, I want to get saved, and it'd still be flesh. And it doesn't want to go to hell. And the flesh wants to get healed from whatever disease it has. And flesh wants to get delivered out of whatever circumstance that may be going on in its particular life that's making it unhappy at that particular time. But I'm going to tell you something. The flesh never wants to sacrifice. And the flesh never wants to worship. And the flesh never wants to bow down, and the flesh never wants to give thanks. That's just the way it is. Huh? And that's why our worship service, if we're walking in the flesh, if the flesh is ruling, we can't really have a worship service. That's why sometimes we say, well, sometimes it just feels dead. You know why? Because it's a bunch of flesh sitting here trying to act like or pretend that we're going to worship God. And we can't do it. We just can't do it. This is what we have when we have to see it. We have to see it. We got to get past that. And what happens then is, and I'm not saying that these people aren't saved, or if you fall in this category, I'm not saying you're not saved. And listen, I was in this category for a long time, right? But the blessings become more important than the blesser. That's what happens. The blessings is more important. The Corinthian church got preoccupied with the sign gifts. Man, everybody wanted gifts. There's a lot of gifts, and they got preoccupied with them. Man, everybody. Matter of fact, it got to the point where they were coveting the flashy things, and they wanted those things. Why? Because the flesh wanted that. The flesh wants to get recognized. You know, what flares up in you if somebody don't mention your name or give you thanks or give you honor and this and that? It's the flesh, right? It's pride. That's what happens. And it flares up. So it happens in church. The things that appeal to the flesh. But nobody was interested in the gift. Let me tell you what a gift is. Giving. That's a gift, but the flesh don't want to do that. How about the gift of administration? The Bible talks about those gifts of administrations. That's not a fleshy gift. Who wants that? The flesh doesn't want that. They were wrapped up in getting the flashy ones, right? Testimony. Sometimes you have to be careful when we give testimonies. When we say, you want to talk about what Christ's done for you. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. But I tell you what, you better get to focus on Christ and off you. And you better get to focus on Christ and off your disease. Huh? It's just, there's a fine line there, too. It's a real fine line. You know, look what God did to me. Where you got the emphasis on me or God? You have to watch that. Deliverances, rescues, whatever the problems. But as you grow in grace and you kind of progress in your life with Christ, you should see this, and I want to say it, but you have to really see it on your own. I'm going to tell it to you, and you're going to agree with me. But I want you to examine yourself and say, hey, is this really the way it is in my life? That you'll find out this, and this is what a higher life Christian, or if you want to be in that category, is. That the greatest blessing is Christ himself.
Amen.
That's it. This is the truth. The greatest blessing, and you think, well, listen, if he's not giving me things, if he's not doing things for me, how is he the greater blessing? That's the difference. That's what you learn after a while. And I'll try to help you along with that today if I can do that. Just think about this. If we had every blessing that Christ could give and we didn't have him, what would we really be? I mean, there'd be a temporary, like if you're really sick and you got healed totally, leprosy, which was death. It was a long, drawn-out affair, but it was death. And you got healed. Boy, you'd be happy as all get out for a little while. But without Christ, there'd be an emptiness there. Huh? What about, boy, if God blessed you somehow financially and you had all the money in the world? You could be happy for a while, maybe even a long while. But eventually there'd be something missing. See, that's what it is. And, what would it be? All your health, if you had all the houses, all the lands, all the power, all the prestige, and you really didn't have Christ, you'd still have that emptiness somewhere that you stifle. By the way, listen, you know what we do. We fill this emptiness up with everything under the sun. Big categories, entertainment, things that we buy, vacation, whatever we can do. Any distraction we can, any distraction that we can use so that we don't feel unsatisfied. I'm talking about Christians. And lost, this would apply to lost people as well. Anything that we can use. And we can't, it keeps us from being honest with ourselves, maybe. The Bible says in Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? That's a familiar verse. Let me tell you what he'd give. He'd give all the blessings, even if they came from God, he would give all the blessings just for Christ, because he's life. He don't give it, he's it. See, he's the blessing. He is the blessing, not the other blessings. They're good. I'm not saying they're not. Any blessings from God is good, but he's the blessing. And that's what you begin to see. Because we could have all those blessings and not have Christ. If we could have them, we'd still be empty. We can't enjoy the blessings of Christ apart from him. That's an impossibility as well. Let's look at it this way. I thought about this. I started the title of the message this, The Blessings of Heaven, but I changed it to that. What is going to be the blessing of heaven? What kind of blessing are you going to need in heaven? You going to be needing healing from falling in a creek and landing on your head? Cancer? Nah, you don't need no, we're not going to need no healing, right? You going to need deliverance from some kind of circumstance that happened in your life? You going to need that? Mm-mm. No. So there's two blessings right off the bat. We're not going to have those. Huh? You going to need deliverance from the temptation of sin? Mm-mm. No. No, you're not. You're not going to, you know, all these things. No bad circumstances, no nothing. No victory over sin. We're not going to have all that in heaven. What's going to be the blessing of heaven? Christ himself. It's just him, see. We don't have to wait till we get there for that, right? It's now, really. It's a real thing right now. It's just really right here. That's why my great-grandmother was saved. Man, she knew the Lord, and she'd take the Bible and want me to do things. But I'll tell you something, she didn't have nothing. This world's good. Rented a little house next door, $17.50 a month. That was what she charged the people. I don't know why the 50 cents, but just Social Security, whatever it was back in those days. Of course, she was living before. She was born in 1889. They didn't have Social Security most of her life. Content? Just the contentest person I know. Because she had Jesus, man. Old house, we kept telling her she's going to outlive the house. Dad and I was up there deer hunting one time. Man, Dad was about to freeze to death in the bedroom. He said, man, I don't know what's going on in here. He pulled the bed back, and there was a hole big enough for a cow to come through almost. We said, good night. He said, no wonder I'm freezing to death. The house didn't have no central heat. It had a cook stove in the kitchen and an oil furnace in the living room. She didn't run that because it cost too much. So you was in the kitchen warm and cold everywhere else. Talking about having to warm the toilet seat up. It did have indoor plumbing. It had cold water, ran from a gravity-fed spring. Took 3 minutes to fill up a glass of water, and it would freeze in the sink at night when you went to bed and the stove died down. In the wintertime, it would freeze the water in the kitchen. That's what she had. Had so many quilts on top of it, but she was content, see. She had Jesus. See, she didn't care. Now, would she have liked money? I don't even know if she would have liked. I don't even know. She wouldn't have bought another thing. She wouldn't have bought a new house. My dad took a piece of plywood and nailed it down there. At least he said, at least snow wasn't blowing in while you're in the bed, right? That's what she had. She didn't have it. It's just, that's the way it's going to be in heaven. It's just him. And when you have the fullness of God in you, it's like it's the most satisfying, peaceful, full of love. Talk about that in a minute, but it's you don't want any, you don't need anything else. That's what we're trying to get with all these peripheral things in our life anyway, right? We just want to be happy. So we want to have joy. We buy things for comfort. We buy things for entertainment. And I'm not saying they're wrong. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that. Well, don't buy nothing, don't have none. Let's just all go sit in a house with no heat and we'll be. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's not going to be. That's not the place that God's trying to take us to, this place where we realize, man, it's just him. It's just him. And that's the whole thing I want you to see about this. Now, the second point is the person of Christ. The greatest blessing, I said, is really just him. It's greater than physical healing. It's greater than gold. Greater than gold. Judas took that money back that he had got for betraying Christ, and he threw it in the priest at the temple, and he didn't want it. The thing he thought he wanted, because why? He had denied the Lord, and he lost him. Huh? And now, what would he give? What would he give in exchange? Damien got on a verse. I was mulling this over in my mind the week before. I was on my hunting trip. Got a lot of time sitting in the woods thinking about things. And Damien was preaching, and he went right to Galatians 5:22 and said exactly what I wanted to say. And I've said it before. Galatians 5:22 said, but the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is, and here's the definition of the fruit, singular, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Okay, So what it is, and what I tell people, listen, God doesn't dole it out separately. You get peace, you get love, you get joy, you know, it's all him. You get him, you get it all. It's one thing, it's just one thing. He can't be separate. As a matter of fact, what it's talking about in Ephesians, you cannot separate that from Christ. It's Him. You get Him. You got it all. Now, is there a time in your life when you need to feel peace more than somebody else? Sure. But it's still there. It's He's already given it to you, but it may be preeminent, you know, and we can get it. All that comes up in prominence. But you get, when you get Christ, you get everything. That's what we have to have. We have to see that. And when we're full of Him, we have it all. And this is, listen, this is the greatest blessing. This is it. This is the greatest blessing. You're talking about to be thankful for. Moses asked God, he said, what shall I say when the children of Israel ask what your name is, when he was going to lead the Israelites? And the Lord told him, he said, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. What is that? I am. I am what? Everything. Remember back, those of you that remember old enough to be around in the old hippie days, and you'd see the football game, the camera would zoom in on the end zone, always some freak back there with a sign, Jesus is the answer. I used to wonder, what? What answer? He's the answer to everything. He is the answer to everything. He's the answer to everything. It's just Him. It's Him. Jesus said this, said about Himself in John 6:35. He said, listen, I am the bread of life. He didn't say, I'm going to give you the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. That means I'm going to give you, I'm going to be the bread of life. I'm going to be all the substance you need spiritually. I'm it. Everything you need. He said, I am the light of the world. He didn't say, I'm going to give you light. I'm going to send light. He said, I am the light of the world. And He's in the light of heaven, too. I wrote this verse. I said, well, I'm going to read this because it's good reading. We don't always talk about it that much. In Revelation 21, 22 through 27, it said, and I saw no temple therein, talking about a description of heaven. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Man, he said, listen, in the light of heaven, what's going to be the light of heaven? What do you think we're going to do in heaven all day long? We're just going to worship the Lord, man. We're going to worship Him. We'll be full of Him. Heaven will be full of Him. We have no need. No need. And he'll be the blessing. He is the blessing. He said, I am the door of the sheep. Not a door. He said, I am the door. I'm the way. It's the only way. I am the resurrection and the life. He doesn't say I give life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he doesn't give us eternal life outside of Himself. What does He do? He gives us Himself. He can never die. He's eternal. When you have Christ, you have eternal life. You can't die. It's Him. He's not giving you a life like, I got a little bucket of life here and I'm going to toss it out on everybody to get saved. No, He said, I'm giving you Myself. That's what He does. And that's the way I see it. And that's the way I started learning this. I heard it before, but I didn't understand it the same way. I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way. He doesn't just speak truth. He is truth. He doesn't give life. He is life. He's it. He's it. Amen. We see it that way. He said, I'm the true vine. Not a vine, the true vine. And that life is in the vine. We know that. Now listen, I understand the arguments on certain things. And I understand that Christ works in our life. I know that. And I know that God works in the world, in the universe. I know He works outside like that. But in us, the believers, it's Christ. It's Him. It's always Him. And so we always need to shift our focus and be careful because of our flesh. We need to shift our focus off the peripheral things of Christ to the person of Christ. It's Him. It's just Him. In contrast with the 9 lepers who didn't return, a good parallel verse for that old maniac of Gadara, remember we called him a maniac, he was demon possessed, that guy, and remember that? He was running around the tombs. Now, this is a different dispensation yet. Jesus hadn't gone to the cross, and he didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. But you know what happened when Jesus cast out the demons? It said he was sitting at Jesus' feet fully clothed, and you know what he wanted? He wanted to be with Jesus. He just wanted to be with Jesus. He wasn't running around saying, hey, look, I'm healed, boy, yippee. I've got the things of Christ, and now I'm going to run off and leave Christ. No, he wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus. Jesus told him, though, he said, no, listen, I want you to go. I want you to go back into villages and tell what great things God has done for you. He wanted him to be a witness. And you know, of course, I believe on the day of Pentecost, he's probably one that received the Holy Spirit as well. Then a permanent possession, the church got it all there. There's a lot of things we could add to that, but he wasn't obsessed with what he had and what Jesus, he wasn't obsessed with what Jesus had done. Word that in your mind. He wasn't obsessed with what Jesus had done. He was obsessed with Jesus. That's the difference. Don't get obsessed with what he does. Just get obsessed with him. And that is the blessing of God. That is it. And that's the place that these other guys, and I'm not claiming to be on the spiritual level, intellectual level with them. I'm just telling you, it was something I was seeing in my life that this is more. And the one thing, you know, when I sit down to pray, and we can ask God for a lot of things, and we have him. I know that we're saved, we have him. But boy, the fullness, the fullness, that surrendered life, man, when it's full of God. And this is what God wants. And he wants that to flow from us to others. See, that's what he wants. But first, we got to be honest with us, you know, and realize that, hey, we may have been preoccupied with other things other than him. And that's all the difference. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I hope this helped you today a little bit. If you don't understand it, that's okay. That's okay. Just pray about this. But this is what it is. It's really about him, and we've made it about everything but him. We've made it about entertainment. We've made it about fun. We've made it about convenience. We've made it about everything under the sun other than him. And I just believe if we confess these things and be honest and say, Lord, I just want you. I just want you. I want you to be, fill me to the brim. That God will answer that prayer and open our eyes, and maybe if you don't understand it all, you'll see it all. But let's do that. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and today, and just help us, Lord, enlighten these people, open our hearts and minds to this fact, Lord, that you're the all in all, you're the everything, and Lord, that's what we need more than that. We just need you and to possess us, a total possession, Lord. To make a total transformation, and Lord, that you can be glorified, not ourselves, but you. And so it's my prayer today, if there's someone here lost today, that you speak to their heart now, and your Holy Spirit's moving, no doubt. And Lord, that you'd speak to hearts today, that we'd make sure that we're saved. Lord, it's not in a profession, but it's in our life. What's our life? You know, is our life all about you? And I pray for that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Hymn 174, My Jesus, I Love Thee.